And now, Chapter 57. Satrajit murdered, the jewel returned. Sri Badarayani said, although Lord Govinda was fully aware of what had actually occurred, when he heard reports that the Pandavas and Queen Kunti had burned to death, he went with Lord Balaram to the kingdom of the Kurus to fulfill the family obligations expected of him. The two lords met with Bhishma, Kripa, Vidura, Gandhari, and Drona. Showing sorrow equal to theirs, they cried out, "Alas, how painful this is!" Taking advantage of this opportunity, O King, Akrura and Kritavarma went to Shatadanva and said, "Why not take the Syamantaka jewel? Satrajit promised his jewel-like daughter to us, but then gave her to Krishna instead, contemptuously neglecting us. So why should Satrajit not follow his brother's path?" His mind thus influenced by their advice, wicked Shatadanva murdered Satrajit in his sleep, simply out of greed. In this way, the sinful Shatadanva shortened his own lifespan. As the women of Satrajit's palace screamed and helplessly wept, Shatadanva took the jewel and left, like a butcher after he has killed some animals. When Satyabhama saw her dead father, she was plunged into grief, lamenting, my father, oh, I am killed, she fell unconscious. Queen Satyabhama put her father's corpse in a large vat of oil and went to Hastinapur, where she sorrowfully told Lord Krishna, who was already aware of the situation, about her father's murder. When Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram heard this news, O King, they exclaimed, alas! This is the greatest tragedy for us. Thus imitating the ways of human society, they lamented, their eyes brimming with tears. The Supreme Lord returned to his capital with his wife and elder brother. After arriving in Dvarka, he readied himself to kill Shatadanva and retrieve the jewel from him. Upon learning that Lord Krishna was preparing to kill him, Shatadanva was struck with fear. To save his life, he approached Kritavarma and begged him for help, but Kritavarma said,
I dare not offend the Supreme Lords, Krishna and Balaram. Indeed, how can one who troubles them expect any good fortune? Kamsa and all his followers lost both their wealth and their lives because of enmity toward them. And after battling them 17 times, Jarasandha was left without even a chariot.
His appeal refused, Shatadanva went to Akrura and begged him for protection. But Akrura similarly told him,
who would oppose the two personalities of Godhead if he knew their strength? It is the Supreme Lord who creates, maintains, and destroys this universe simply as his pastime. The cosmic creators cannot even understand his purpose, bewildered as they are by his illusory Maya. As a child of seven, Krishna uprooted an entire mountain and held it aloft as easily as a young boy picks up a mushroom. I offer my obeisances to that Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, whose every deed is amazing. He is the Supreme Soul, the unlimited source and fixed center of all existence.
His appeal thus rejected by Akrura also, Shatadanva placed the precious jewel in Akrura's care and fled on a horse that could travel 100 yojanas, or 800 miles. My dear king, Krishna and Balaram mounted Krishna's chariot, which flew the flag of Garuda and was yoked with tremendously swift horses, and pursued their elder's murderer. In a garden on the outskirts of Mithila, the horse Shatadanva was riding collapsed. Terrified, he abandoned the horse and began to flee on foot, with Krishna in angry pursuit. As Shatadanva fled on foot, the Supreme Lord, also going on foot, cut off his head with his sharp-edged disc. The Lord then searched Shatadanva's upper and lower garments for the Syamantaka jewel. Not finding the jewel, Lord Krishna went to his elder brother and said, "We have killed Shatadanva uselessly. The jewel isn't here." To this Lord Balaram replied, "Indeed, Shatadanva must have placed the jewel in the care of someone. You should return to our city and find that person. I wish to visit King Videha, who is most dear to me." O king, having said this, Lord Balaram, the beloved descendant of Yadu, entered the city of Mithila. The king of Mithila immediately rose from his seat when he saw Lord Balaram approaching. With great love, the king honored the supremely worshipable Lord by offering him elaborate worship as stipulated by scriptural injunctions. The almighty Lord Balaram stayed in Mithila for several years, honored by his affectionate devotee Janaka Maharaj. During that time, Dhritarashtra's son Duryodhana learned from Balaram the art of fighting with a club. Lord Keshava arrived in Dvarka and described the demise of Shatadanva and his own failure to find the Syamantaka jewel. He spoke in a way that would please his beloved Satyabhama. Lord Krishna then had the various funeral rites performed for his deceased relative Satrajit. The Lord attended the funeral along with well-wishers of the family. When Akrura and Kritavarma, who had originally incited Shatadanva to commit his crime, heard that he had been killed, they fled Dvarka in terror and took up residence elsewhere. In Akrura's absence, ill omens arose in Dvarka, and the citizens began to suffer continually from physical and mental distresses, as well as from disturbances caused by higher powers and by creatures of the earth. Some men proposed that the troubles were due to Akrura's absence, but they had forgotten the glories of the Supreme Lord, which they themselves had so often described. Indeed, how can calamities occur in a place where the personality of Godhead, the residence of all the sages, resides? The elders said, "Previously, when Lord Indra had withheld rain from Kashi or Banaras, the king of that city gave his daughter Gandini to Shvapalka, who was then visiting him, and it soon rained in the kingdom of Kashi. Wherever his equally powerful son Akrura stays, Lord Indra will provide sufficient rain. Indeed, that place will be free of miseries and untimely deaths." Hearing these words from the elders, Lord Janardhan, though aware that the absence of Akrura was not the only cause of the evil omens, had him summoned back to Dvarka and spoke to him. Lord Krishna honored Akrura, greeted him confidentially, and spoke pleasant words with him. Then the Lord, who was fully aware of Akrura's heart by virtue of his being the knower of everything, smiled and addressed him.
"O Master of Charity, surely the opulent Syamantaka jewel was left in your care by Shatadanva and is still with you. Indeed, we have known this all along. Since Satrajit had no sons, his daughter's sons should receive his inheritance. They should pay for memorial offerings of water and pinda, clear their grandfather's outstanding debts, and keep the remainder of the inheritance for themselves. Nevertheless, the jewel should remain in your care, O trustworthy Akrura, because no one else can keep it safely.
But please show the jewel just once, since my elder brother does not fully believe what I have told him about it. In this way, O most fortunate one, you will pacify my relatives. Everyone knows you have the jewel, for you are now continually performing sacrifices on altars of gold.
Thus, shamed by Lord Krishna's conciliatory words, the son of Shvapalka brought out the jewel from where he had concealed it in his clothing and gave it to the Lord. The brilliant gem shone like the sun. After the Almighty Lord had shown the Syamantaka jewel to his relatives, thus dispelling the false accusations against him, he returned it to Akrura. This narration, rich with descriptions of the prowess of Lord Sri Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, removes sinful reactions and bestows all auspiciousness. Anyone who recites, hears, or remembers it will drive away his own infamy and sins and attain peace.
Thus ends the 57th chapter of the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Satrajit Murdered, the Jewel Returned.